This is The Spark. I'm Martha Woodruff. Charlottesville violist Fitz Gary has just gotten his master's from Juilliard. That's him playing the Rebecca Clark Sonata for viola and piano with Juilliard's Mariko Furukawa. Fitz Gary is young and, as you can tell, extremely talented. He has a very bright and very busy musical future ahead of him, and still has taken the time to co-found a classical music concert series in Charlottesville called Music Feeds Us. The series has a mission statement, and I asked Fitz to read it.
Our mission is to inspire generosity in our audiences, leading them to donate to their local food bank to help alleviate hunger, and to cultivate an audience which is equally invested in both classical music and humanitarian efforts.
Tell me about Music Feeds Us.
Avery Waite, a colleague and friend of mine, and I co-founded Music Feeds Us the middle of last year when we were both at Juilliard doing our master's degrees. The point originally was just to come back to our hometown of Charlottesville, Virginia, and play for the people that really helped us along in our musical development, and just play for our community. And it sort of snowballed from there in terms of we thought, oh, why don't people bring a canned food item for sort of payment for coming to the concert? And then it grew from there. We were inspired by Kim Kashkashian's, the violist in Boston, her program Music for Food, and some other organizations, and we just thought, wouldn't it be great to partner with the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank? And after learning a little bit more about how many people struggle in our community and trying to find their next meal, we thought, why don't we just make this a really big benefit concert for food in our community? And last year it was such a success. We raised over 26,000 meals for the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank.
Bravo.
Thank you.
Hunger in Albemarle County and Charlottesville.
Right.
You found out about this.
Yes. Through the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank website, you can find that 1 in 10 people in our region don't know where their next meal is coming from, and 4 in 10 of those are our children. And it's just surprising how many meals that they provide for our community and how many people they serve along the Blue Ridge. And so as the recession hits and there are more people that need food, and as the donations decrease, this is a perfect time to do something like this and hopefully not only inspire people to donate, but also bring some classical music to our community.
Did you grow up in Charlottesville?
I did.
Yes. Did you know there was this much hunger around?
I didn't when I was growing up. I think it's hard to see it in a lot of communities. As Charlottesville, it's such a prosperous place, and UVA, I mean, it's hard to see, you know, every day, but so I didn't know when I was growing up. But after partnering with the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank, that's when Avery and I learned more about what they do and how great it is. So
tell me about you and Avery. You've been friends for a long time.
We have. We played in the same youth orchestra, the Charlottesville Albemarle Youth Orchestra. He's a year older than I am, but so he went off to Oberlin College in Ohio, and I was actually at Cleveland Institute of Music. So we weren't too far away. And then it wasn't really until Juilliard when we reconnected and decided we haven't come back to Charlottesville to play for our teachers and our families and our community. So that's how it all happened.
Are you getting anything out of this, you and Avery personally?
We are volunteering our services, musical services, but for me, it's such an amazing opportunity and experience to start something like this and learn how to grow an organization from the bottom up, and also just the opportunity to play the music that we love for the people that we love. I mean, as cliche as that sounds, it's true. Coming back, it's so incredible to play for our old teachers who we haven't played for in so many years. I'm not getting any monetary compensation, but there is a lot that we both are benefiting from doing this, and it's been great.
But you're not you're not getting any money. You're getting no money
no
for
money,
this.
Right.
You're just getting the joy of giving.
Right, exactly.
Good for you.
I started the viola in the Charlottesville City Music Program.
When you were?
I was 10 years old when I started the viola at Walker Elementary School. And
know it well. I had a daughter who went
okay,
there.
Okay, great. I went to CHS and Laura Thomas with the amazing Charlottesville High School Orchestra, and the amount of support that she gives and other musicians in the community gave me. It wasn't really, I knew I wanted to be a musician right away. It was definitely a gradual process of all of the people that I've met over the years and have played with and have been taught by have inspired me, and, you know, it took a while that this is what I wanted to do. And so then I went on to the
Cleveland. So you didn't know right away. No, wait a minute. Don't go so fast. Okay. It's not every 10-year-old who wants to muck around with classical music. Where did this come from?
Both my parents are very much classical music lovers.
So it was in your home?
It was, very much in my home. My dad always has the classical state radio on and took me to concerts all the time, and it just seemed sort of already there, I guess you could say.
Is your family musical?
They aren't musical. They do not play instruments, but they love it. So in that sense, they
are. Brothers and sisters?
I have an older brother, and he's musical as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was kind of in the air when you were growing
Definitely.
Up.
Definitely.
You had it along with your cornflakes in the morning.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so you graduate from Charlottesville High. You get into Cleveland, which
Cleveland is... Cleveland Institute of Music.
No mean feat.
It was... I was very lucky to go there. I think it's such an amazing school, and the support there for someone like me who was still, I didn't know much. I knew a lot about music, but in terms of the whole music world out there, the big, bad music world, I didn't know really what to expect or anything much about it. And so Cleveland really was a great transition for me, a great learning environment, and such amazing people and other students. And actually, one of the violinists we have coming to play with us for Music Feeds Us is a colleague from CIM. So,
talk to me about this big bad music world. What did you? Here you are, Maria von Trapp. Did you ever see The Sound of Music? You
yes,
know,
I
she's
did.
At the she's at the door to the von Trapps.
Right. Right.
Here you are before
Naive.
The big bad music world, and what'd you learn?
I guess I learned how, as great a thing as classical music is, there are the politics, and there's a lot of not so great things. So it's like any other field. You just don't know who is who and what's what and where the good places are to go and that kind of thing. And
what was your biggest learning curve?
I think I'm, of course, always learning every day. I mean, once you're out of school, you're still learning. It's just no longer supervised, as they say. I think that for me, being surrounded by musicians who push me and inspire me and are better than I am has always been something that really motivates me just to get to the next level. And I've also found that for me, wherever I go, the most important thing has always been my teacher. Picking someone who puts the carrot out there for you and supports you. And I've been so lucky to have great teachers throughout my education. And, you know, you're inspired to put in the work that it takes because of the people around you. And that's, I think, how it's been for me.
What's your work day like? A classical musician is a coming together of talent, work, and perseverance.
Okay.
And some luck. How do you see that mix in you? And do not be modest.
I wish I had more perseverance, and that's something that I always have to fight and push for. And as I said before, being surrounded by those who really inspire me and work harder than I do, really push me. So in that part of the equation, I think I've learned to sort of cope with it. And I guess you could say I am talented. I don't know how you measure that or, you know, how one determines that. But I guess there was an element of
I think if you're in Juilliard, you're probably pretty talented.
Okay, I guess you could say that. I definitely love it, so there's that element as well.
Okay, now when you talk about perseverance, does that mean that, are you talking about wishing that you worked harder than you did, or wishing that you had more chutzpah, you could hustle a little harder?
Maybe both. I would say in terms of perseverance, I guess there's many elements of that. There's the how many hours do you spend in the practice room, and that's a huge determining factor, and it's hard to keep yourself in the practice room after a long day. And then another element would be if you fail at a competition or you don't get in to a place you want to go or something, you fail at something, learning how to get back up.
And you had to learn that.
I think you have to learn it. I think you do have to learn it. I think classical musicians learn to fail. I mean, learn to get back up after they fail, because you do have to, unless you're incredibly lucky, you're going to go through some bumps, ups and downs. And that's just the nature of it, I guess.
Come out of Cleveland. Tell me about your audition for Juilliard, what that was like, and what made you think you would get into Juilliard? Did somebody tell you you could? Or did you say, I'm going?
After 4 years at the Cleveland Institute of Music, I had been to summer festivals. So I had been to Aspen Music Festival and other places, and you meet people who go to Juilliard. So you get a perception of who's there, who the teachers are. You can hear the other people who play. So you get it in your ears. You sort of know, you get to know the people that are there. So for me, it was my teacher in Cleveland who said, you should study with Heidi Castleman at Juilliard. And so I had a trial lesson with her, and we really hit it off. And she was just someone, as I said before, teachers are really important. And she was someone who I knew I really wanted to study with. And so I knew that I really wanted to go to Juilliard. It was more about the teacher for me, because that if you're stuck at a great school with a horrible teacher, that's bad. But if you're at any school with a fantastic teacher, that's where you're really gonna do something. So I knew that Juilliard was where I needed to go and where I wanted to. My audition was, I guess, like any other audition. You go and it's a panel of about 12 of the greatest violists that there are. I mean, you know, you look up to them growing up. So it of course is intimidating, but you prepare for that and you prepare for how nervous you're going to be and stuff. But the more prepared you are, the easier something like that is. And I was fortunate enough to get in, and I had a great experience with my two teachers. I was shared with Heidi Castleman and Sinyun Huang at Juilliard.
You're youthful looking. You have nary a line or a worry in your face, and you're heading off into the world of professional classical music, which is a tough world. So how you think you're going to hold up?
I have no idea. I hope it works out, but you know, you never know. I think that I hope that I have enough perseverance to keep going, but you know, the music world is definitely a tough industry. But as long as I'm having fun and making music and collaborating with great people, that's what it's all about. So as long as that can happen, I'll still be doing it, I guess.
What's next?
Well, actually, this year I got the Fulbright scholarship to go study in Lübeck, Germany next year for a year. So I'll be moving to Lübeck in August. I'll be there studying with Barbara Westfall, a great viola teacher that I met last summer when I was doing a small festival in Germany. And I'll be studying with her the two Brahms sonatas. Actually, that's my proposal for the Fulbright, to study the two Brahms viola sonatas. So I'll be in Germany next year.
A competition you won.
Yes.
But before Fitz heads out to go for the gold, classical musically speaking, he, Avery Waite, and their friends will make us all a gift of their music. Saturday at 3 in Stanton, Sunday at 3 in Charlottesville. All they'll ask in return is a can of food for the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. Information is on the Spark page at WMRA.org. And now a programming note that, believe me, I deliver with very mixed feelings. You know, it's a self-evident truth that if we keep hanging around this sweet old world long enough, we will all turn 66. Well, it was my turn to do just that at the end of last month. That's one factor in my decision to retire and our decision to end the Sparks run on WMRA. The other is that I sold my first novel, Small Blessings, coming next summer from St. Martin's. And since I need to write another novel by about that same time, I simply need more time to write. What this means is that you've just listened to the next, to the next, to the last Spark. I shall, however, yippee, still be with WMRA part-time, producing one feature a week. The Spark is a joint production of the WMRA Land Community and the staff of WMRA Public Radio. The Spark's theme music is supplied by the Avant Gardeners of Albemarle County. Terry Ward is our web wrangler and this week's essayist. Thanks to Bob, Matt, and Terry for their help. Special thanks to Sandra Hodge for suggesting I talk with Glenna Graves, and to Tim Eastap for sending me a note about Paul Summers. I'm Martha Woodruff. It's been a great pleasure to be with you.